Good morning. The worshiper, I'm reading from Matthew 24, in the 24:3, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" And that's why we're here. Every time we come, we look at that sign, that beautiful stained glass window, waiting for his return. And we don't know when the hour is, but we know it's going to happen. And he could be on his way right now, because it may take a little while to get here, but he is on his way. And we want to thank you for being a prayer in church and a worrying church that keeps back the winds of strife a little longer. So those who are able to kneel, please kneel at this time. Our Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for this time that we can come together as a church and worship you. Bless every family that's represented here, Father. We know that people are hurting and people are tired and people are discouraged. Be with everyone, Father, that has been hurt or discouraged. Tell them not to be taking that to heart, but things will have to come in our lives that will strengthen us and make us better for all the things that come upon this church. Help this church to be a light upon a hill when thou comest in the clouds of glory, and be with everyone. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Logan and Tim and George, for blessing us with "Let It Be, Lord, Let It Be." I have something special to share with Kelvin and Betty before I share the message with you today. 45 years. Rochelle and I are trying to play catch up, but we're not going to make it. It's a long time. This is from Lonnie and Jeannie Meloshenko. "Dear newlyweds, Kelvin and Betty, congratulations on your 45th wedding anniversary. Jeannie and I are so proud of you two wonderfuls." You'll notice who's writing this as the words come off. Lonnie has a gift with words. "We extend our personal felicitations with arms open wide and giant bear hugs because you are like family to us. In bold print, we love you much. We cherish precious memories reaching back to 1972 when we first arrived at Camarillo to pastor the church, and you set up your practice about the same time and shortly started raising your family. We traveled to the Holy Land together in 1991 when your family lost all their luggage. LA Kings games, golf, Chinese food together, the Calgary Stampede, Hawaii, good times and some sad times. We wish we could be there with you today as the Camarillo Saints smother you with appropriate adulation and congratulations, plus a sumptuous vegetarian Chinese dinner hosted by Sandy Makinich and her team. We are in Toronto preaching for camp meeting, heading for Niagara Falls tomorrow. But we are there in spirit with you, Randy, Karen, and their families. We extend our warmest wishes and verbal bouquets tossed your way on this momentous occasion. How absolutely wonderful that the dear Lord who invented couples brought you together in holy matrimony in 1966. Our postmodern times of casual sexual relationships and flagrant disregard for the sanctity of marriage undresses the stark contrast of your sacred marriage. You two model so brightly the highest benchmark of what heaven designed that true matrimony is all about: a total commitment of the total person for total life. We consider you forever friends. Happy 45th anniversary, Lonnie and Jeannie." And with that, we too, Kelvin and Betty, add ours. How exciting. What a great example you have been to so many in this church and for so long. 1970, what year was that? 72. Wow. Been a lot of water under the bridge since then. So the question for us this morning is, Lord, when? When are you coming? And what is the answer to that? Lord, when? I don't know about you, but I remember on occasion my parents planning something very special when we were children. You remember that? Now, sometimes they would set a date. They would say, on such and such a day or date, we're going to go do whatever we were going to go do. And if it was something you were really excited about, what did you do? And the longer the date away was, the more anxious you became. And if you were really little and didn't understand the calendar quite like Mom and Dad did, a day could be an eternity, a week were several eternities, and a month would have been, forget it, I can't keep count. Because we were now kids, remember? We wanted to do it now. If you're going to tell us we're going to go do this, let's do it now, not sometime in the future. Do you remember one of those days or one of those occasions? And it seemed like that day would never come. And on those unfortunate rare occasions when that day did come and another emergency preempted that day from occurring, you had the greatest disappointment of your entire life. That was awful. Do you remember that? Hopefully it never happened to you. Because of that, I remember my wife and I saying we had to be really careful with our children. We would plan things, but we would not discuss any of the plans with the kids until we got really close to that actual time. Why? Because the kids would be bugging the daylight. Mom, is it time yet? Is it today, Mom? Dad, when are we going? Remember that? What about your relationship with Jesus? In your daily devotions, are you saying, Jesus, is it today? Is it today? Jesus, I'm ready for you to come today. Let's go. Jesus, in his wisdom, shared with us an important principle. He plays it very safe because he tells us in Scripture that no one knows the day or the hour, not the angels of heaven, nor Jesus himself, only the Father knows. Did you know that? So when, Father, are you going to send Jesus to rescue us? Well, the Bible gives us some help with this. And that's what I love about God's Word, because God's Word comes alive. And let's take a look at what God is saying to us in our Scripture today, in Matthew 24, verse 3. What do we discover? He was sitting on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately and asked him the question, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus launches into a rather detailed description of some things that we will come back to in a few minutes. But I want you to go to the end of this chapter, to Matthew 24, verse 14. And here's what he said. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached," where? "As a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Have we done that work? It's interesting. Think about what is available to mankind today to communicate this message to the world. Just a few days ago, it is written, broadcast, Babylon Rising, on television, on the Hope Channel, on It Is Written, not, well, It Is Written 3ABN, and they did it on the internet. It's interesting because Ted could tell me on any given night how many people were logged on and watching it on the internet. We had a pretty decent crowd here, but there were a whole lot more people watching it on the internet than were here. So technology is doing a marvelous job. But technology can't do what you can do. It can bring a personal face of invitation to the neighbor next door. Can it? We need all of that technology. We need to be doing that. People's lives are being touched. It's working. But we must go further than that. We, you and I, must be involved in evangelism. We are involved. If we really believe that Jesus is coming, how urgent are we about conveying that message to those that we run and rub shoulders with on an everyday basis? Do they know that you know that Jesus is coming soon? We had a great opportunity just a few weeks ago. A man said that Jesus was coming on May 21, wasn't it? 6 o'clock. He even said it, not only a date, but he said a time. May 21, 6 o'clock in the evening. That was a Sabbath. Now, we smugly sat back, which we shouldn't have. I don't think we did this. My choice of word there just to get your attention. And said, big mistake. Big mistake. We know because the people that began the Seventh-day Adventist Church fell into that trap. They set a date back in Miller's time, October 22, 1844. They didn't put a time, but they put a day. We learned our lesson, didn't we? Or did we? No man knows the day or the hour of Jesus' coming. Only the Father. Well, where are we? How important is this to us? You know, I love following the book of Acts. Do you remember what Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended to heaven? We read about it in Acts, the first chapter, about what he, Jesus, had said to those precious men of his and those women. Here's what he said. Acts 1, 7 and 8. It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Remember, only the Father knows. But, you will receive what? Oh, let me try that again. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You, full of the Holy Spirit's power, will be my witnesses, Jesus says. What does it mean to be full of the power of Jesus Christ? What does that look like? A great example is found in Acts, the third chapter, verses 19 and 20. When Peter, now remember, this is Peter who just roughly around 50 days before this had denied Jesus three times. And Peter is there preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit. And here's what he is. He says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he, the Lord, may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, to change your life into his likeness." I added those last few words. Isn't that what it's all about? You and I becoming like Jesus. In your Sabbath school lessons, you were talking about the importance of putting on the robe of righteousness. You don't put on that robe. Who puts it on you? Jesus does. But it's at your request. You have to request that robe. You have to give up the dirt that's in your life. I'm speaking about myself now. I don't know what's going on in your lives. But there's dirt that I got to get rid of. There's baggage hanging on that I need to let go of. There's stuff that's getting in the way of me having a full and complete Holy Spirit-anointed relationship with Jesus Christ. And until you and I release that and ask Jesus to remove it from us, we cannot fully be empowered with the Holy Spirit like Peter was on that day of Pentecost. You remember what happened when Peter preached that sermon. People listened. The Holy Spirit was working not only in Peter's life, but on those that he was witnessing to. And 3,000 people stepped up and said, "I want to follow you, Jesus." 3,000 people. Oh, my friends. What would we do if 3,000 people today said, "I want to follow Jesus Christ"? What would you do? Would your faith be tested? Would you say, "No way"? Or would you, maybe 160 or 70 of us, say, "Come on"? Because see, that would be about the same proportions, wouldn't it? There were 120 that had been praying per Jesus' instructions for the power to be poured out into their lives. And when on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended with tongues of fire upon them, their lives ever were the same. They were literally on fire for Jesus. I want that fire. Do you? I want it. I'm pleading with the Holy Spirit to send it into your lives and into mine. That's my intercessory prayer, that he send it to you. But I plead with you to join me and say, "Jesus, I want that in my life. What is it in my life that I need to let go so Jesus can fully empower me and use me to witness for him like has never happened in my life before?" Does it frighten you? I don't know, but it's exciting me. Are you praying in the morning, "Jesus, take me out there and show me who I need to witness to today? Jesus, bring that person that I need to witness to into my church today. Bring them into my office, my place of business, so I can witness to them. Show me." And when you bring us together, make sure the Holy Spirit is in full and complete control of the conversation. Remove me from the picture so that they see and hear Jesus. I'm excited. And some of you sitting here know what I'm talking about. There are two groups that meet on Wednesdays who are studying the works of the Holy Spirit. And we are praying with and for each other that the Holy Spirit will be poured out and that we, like Jesus' disciples, will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I'm not Pentecostal. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist pastor quoting Scripture. In Acts, Jesus said, "It's necessary for you, my people, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit," just like he had when he was baptized. Do you remember? He came up out of the water, and what happened? The Holy Spirit descended like a dove upon him. And filled with the Spirit, he went out into the wilderness to do battle with Satan. And my brothers and sisters, you and I are doing battle with Satan all day, every day. And we need to be full of the Holy Spirit's power to gain the victory and to win through Jesus Christ the war. Repent, therefore, and be converted. that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Pastor Dennis, what about the signs? Oh, there are tons of signs. California is known for its earthquakes. Yes or no? We are. We're not the only place in the world. Did you know that earthquakes have been happening with tremendous increase in number? Just to give you an example, from 1934 to 1970, in that 36-year period, there were 100 major or great earthquakes around the world. From 1971 to 2003, there, a 32-year period, there were about the same number, around 100 major or great earthquakes. The number and frequency clearly increased in the 20th century. You know, if I'd given you the statistics before that, you would see that. But it exploded fivefold in the 21st century. And what century are we in? And what century has just begun, basically? The 21st century. Between 2004 and 2011, March of 2011, there were 90 major or great earthquakes. And how many years is that? About 5 years. A little less than 4 years, 3 months to be more precise. So people are saying, what's going on? Just look at this year alone. The tsunami, the earthquake and tsunami in Japan. The earthquake in New Zealand. Earthquakes are happening in New York City. Not a major magnitude, but they're shaken. Just recently, they're beginning to get a little nervous about the Madrid fault that's on the Mississippi River. When that one blew up last, it reversed the course of the Mississippi River and created land between the lakes. Major earthquake. Now, when I was in Tennessee, nobody ever thought about earthquakes. They were always more concerned about tornadoes. Well, let's talk about tornadoes. What's happening with tornadoes? Signs of the times you see are everywhere. When that tornado came through Tallahassee and Joplin, causing major destruction, loss of life, massive destruction of homes and businesses. What about floods? Mississippi higher than basically it's ever been before. And to let the pressure off, they've had to flood hundreds of thousands of acres of land. The Missouri River is now a problem. While in Arizona and New Mexico and Texas, you have droughts and fires of massive proportions like it's never happened before. What's Jesus telling us? The winds of strife are being let go, my friends. Things are happening. Are you noticing these things? Are you getting concerned? But I don't want you to get unconcerned, because hear what we believe all of this means. That these massive earthquakes, natural worldwide disasters, are meant to get the attention of unbelievers. These open up an opportunity for you to witness for Jesus. You can say to them, my Bible tells me that before Jesus comes, these things are going to happen. Watch and be ready. Watch and be ready. Matthew 24, verses 4 through 14, give us a little encapsulation of what to expect. Let's quickly go through these verses. Open your Bible up. If you didn't bring your Bible, you may watch on the screen. You need to use your Bibles too. Take heed. Here's what it says. Verse 4. Take heed that what? What does Jesus start with? Make heed, take heed that no one deceives you. Wow. Who is in the business of deceiving people? Satan is. And here's why. Verse 5. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. But he reminds us in Revelation 14, 12, here are they who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. Verse 10, and then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Just to get a refresher course of what this was all about, go back to what happened in Jerusalem. After Jesus had ascended to heaven, he had warned his disciples. He says, when the time comes to flee, don't go back for your coat, don't go back for anything. You leave and go. And these prophecies in Matthew and Luke have a dual application. They have an application for the people then who are going to be facing a horrendous challenge that the Roman army was going to throw at them, and for God's people at the end of time. We obviously now are at the end of time. Tribulation will come. But if you remember briefly what happened, the Roman army besieged Jerusalem. And then without explanation, after a period of time, they withdrew. And during that time, the Christian people that were there in the city recognized that was the time for them to flee, and they left the city. Because when Titus came back with his army, the next end result was total devastation of that city. Horrific things were happening in the city. Awful things that God's people had taken Jesus' advice and had fled. When the time of tribulation comes for us, you too need to be watching and listening. Verse 11, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. There it is again. Deception is a part of Satan's last day effort to deceive people, to blind you to the truth, and to keep you in darkness. Don't let him do it. And because of that, lawlessness will abound, and the love of many will grow cold. Verse 13 and 14, but he / she who endures to the end shall be what? Saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. As we close out our time together today, I want to leave you with these thoughts from Selected Messages, Book 1, page 128. Selected Messages, Book 1, page 128. A revival and a reformation must take place under the ministration of the Holy Spirit. Revival and Reformation are two different things. Revival signifies the renewal of spiritual life, a quickening of the powers of mind and heart, a resurrection from spiritual death. I want that, don't you? A revival. Look around you. Who is missing here today? Who do you know that is a member of this church that hasn't been here in a while? When was the last time you picked up the phone and called them? Or are you leaving that for the pastor to do? You know what? They'll respond better from a call from you in most cases. We all need revival, don't we? A resurrection from spiritual death. The Holy Spirit coming and getting involved in our lives. But we go on. Reformation signifies a reorganization, a change in ideas and theories, habits and practices. Your life is changed through the power and grace of Jesus Christ. Reformation will not bring forth the good fruit of righteousness unless it is connected with the revival of the Spirit. Revival and reformation are not to do their appointed work. Are to do their appointed work. And in doing this work, they must blend together. You see, God is sending the Holy Spirit to lead His people into the needed repentance, revival, and reformation for a greater infilling of His Spirit as a preparation for the latter rain. The decisive issue for us is, am I responding to the call of His Spirit? Or do I do, tomorrow, maybe. Not today. That would be a problem, wouldn't it? How many of you know you have tomorrow to make a decision change? None of us know that. That's dangerous. You see, that would be Satan working. That would he be, put this in, no rush. No hurry here. Plenty of time. Jesus hasn't come yet. Been 2,000 years and this message has been being preached. Oh, my friends, dangerous. The essence of true faith is to do the right thing at the right time. Don't put it off. Repentance, revival, and reformation are what God has appointed for this time. There's a gentleman by the name of J.L. Schuller who printed a little book called Power for Finished Work. And I'm quoting page 63 of his little book. In this, he says, we are confronted with four propositions. Here they are. Number one, we cannot go to heaven until Jesus comes. We can all agree with that, can't we? Number two, Jesus will not come until the work of the gospel is finished. That's true. Matthew 24:14 bears that out. Number three, the work cannot be finished without the fullness of the latter rain power of the Spirit working in our lives. We cannot do this on our own ever. You can only help Jesus finish the work when you have completely given your life over to Him and allowed the Holy Spirit to take full and complete control and to lead you and guide you and show you where to go and give you the words to speak when you're there. Number four, the worldwide Pentecost or refreshing will not come until the way is prepared by repentance, revival, and reformation. We must have the daily baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives in the form of the early and the latter rain to be fully ripened and prepared for the harvest. There must be no power shortage in our lives In answer to the question and statement, Lord, when? When his people are clothed with his robe of righteousness. It is then that Jesus will come and take us home with him. Filled with his Holy Spirit. My friends, I long to stand on a sea of glass with my church family and my family. Sea of glass. Revelation 15 talks about it. Unique sea of glass because it's mingled with fire. I can't picture it fully, but I don't want to miss it. I want to be there, standing on the sea of glass with all of you and the many others that are out here in this community and around this globe that need to be there with us. Are you ready for Jesus to come? I'm going to invite those of you who say, Pastor Dennis, I don't want to miss this. I want to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk to you more about what's happening at Wednesday morning here at the church and what's happening Wednesday evening at the church. I may need to shift some priorities to make sure I'm there. We're spending more time in prayer than ever, and I consider that to be an absolute must for the Spirit to be poured out. Remember, the disciples were told to go back and pray for the Holy Spirit to come. Those instructions of Jesus haven't changed, just still as important today as it was then. If you feel, and I don't want you to go on feelings, if you just say in your heart, I know that I need this, I want this power, would you be willing to step up and get out of your seat and come back right down here and join me now? I want this, Jesus. I want it in my life. I don't want another second of any day to go by without having that full and powerful infilling of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want Jesus to have what you want to give us. Such power that our lives will never be the same. That you will take us out there to be the witnesses you have called us to be. Come on down. To be the example that you want us to be. To be the people of God. Full of joy. Someone here may have never, ever made the decision to follow Jesus fully and completely. I invite you to come and join me. And talk to me afterwards and let me know this is something that you desire to have. What I know about this church family is that you are a praying church. You are a praying church. Let's make a commitment to one another to stay on our knees. 24/7. Jesus says, pray without ceasing, doesn't he? I love my children down here. This is exciting. You know, the kingdom of heaven. To enter it, we must become as what? Children. Oh, Jesus. Bow your heads with me as we pray. Gracious, loving Jesus. You're looking down from heaven at the saints that are gathered here and those that are still sitting there in pews. They're you're A-okay there. There's no guilt trip on this. We're all on the same page. Jesus is here watching us today. He knows the heart. He knows the mind. He knows exactly what we need to release to him so that we can experience that full and complete relationship. So for the Holy Spirit to just actively be engaged and to let us know in a unique way this week how He is involved in our lives. Jesus is working all of that out. He's changing our hearts as we're standing here and sitting here today. He is the agent of change when we give Him permission to do that. So Jesus, You've heard our pleas that our hearts be changed, that we no longer walk in darkness, but we now are children of light. And that as we leave here today, we will go out as children of light, filled with the Holy Spirit's power, and doing the work that You have called us to do, being those wonderful ministers for You. I give You all the praise, and we give You all the glory, Jesus, for hearing and answering our prayers. But send the Niagara of the Holy Spirit into our lives so that we are never, ever walking alone or without You. Is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing one verse of our last hymn as we go back to our seats.
That's hymn number 213.
You can sing as you're going home today, actually as you're going to lunch today. Be sure and greet Kelvin and Betty today. Lift up the trumpet. One verse.
Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, ye pilgrims, be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again.
Yes, Jesus, You are coming again. Keep us ready. You've seen and heard our commitments to You today. Never leave us nor forsake us. Go with us continually. Empower us to be Your vibrant witnesses for You. In Jesus' name, amen.